What up, growers of the world? Jordan River here with more GrowCast. Today's episode's a good one. We have Crosby from Farmhouse Hemp. We get a little hemp update. We like to do that on the show occasionally. But the show is more than that because Crosby is also an expert in extraction, specifically rosin and solventless extraction in both the CBD and THC worlds. So it's a great one, and I think we're going to have Crosby back on in the future. It was just that good. Before we jump into today's episode, though, going to give love to AC Infinity, the makers of the best grow fans in the game, plus killer tents for growing as well, their Cloud Lab series. ACInfinity.com is where you can find them. GrowCast 1.5 works site-wide, works on their tents, works on their lights, and they have new grow pots, too, I believe, some fabric pots. Go and check it out. AC Infinity, really jumping into the grow game. But make sure you upgrade your fans. They make the best fans in the game. Their T-Series, their S-Series, it'll be an upgrade no matter what. They're feather light, they're powerful, they're whisper quiet. They're so worth it. I wouldn't recommend anything else at this point. ACInfinity.com for all your ventilation needs and more. Grab some tents while they're in stock. Use code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. Site-wide, more or less. All right, everybody. Let's get into it today with Crosby from Farmhouse Hemp. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, I urge you to spread the show, share GrowCast with a friend, with a grower, and make sure you're subscribed to catch every episode. Give us a good rating and review. It really helps us out. Today, we've got a great episode. Oh man, I'm super stoked about today's topic. We're going to speak to Crosby from Farmhouse Hemp, who's on the line with us. What's up, my friend?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
And it's a bit of a mixed topic today. We're so glad to have you because, you know, Farmhouse Hemp, a long-standing presence in the legal hemp space. But really what I want to focus on today with Crosby is rosin tech. That's right, solventless extract, something they're doing over there at Farmhouse Hemp, something you guys love. I sure love consuming. So we're going to talk about all of this today. Crosby, thank you so much for joining us, taking the time today out of your busy extraction schedule to talk to me and my audience. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Happy to talk about Farmhouse and, you know, what we do differently and definitely dive into rosin and the benefits of rosin. Absolutely.
Oh, man, this is going to be great. I smell a multi-parter coming on here. But why don't we start from the beginning? You know, I was speaking to some people at Farmhouse Hemp. Really like what you guys got going on. This like large scale, vertically integrated, regenerative hemp. That's really up my alley. But again, why don't we start from the beginnings, the origins of Farmhouse Hemp and where you came in?
Absolutely. I'd love to introduce myself and my company. Again, I'm Crosby. I'm one of the co-founders of Farmhouse Hemp. Farmhouse Hemp was started in 2016 with really one main mission in mind. And myself and my two partners, Kelsey and Lucas, we are huge cannabis advocates. We've been in the space for a long time. And honestly, we're cannabis connoisseurs. We love it. And when looking into the hemp and even the THC side of things, we noticed a lot of gaps in the industry, from transparency to sustainable practices to ethical decisions and sourcing materials. So, you know, we're big users. And when we looked into the industry and the space, we saw some things that we didn't love. And we all looked at each other and said, we can bridge these gaps. We can fill in the voids and we can make a product that we believe is transparent, ethical, sustainable, honest, and a great product for a lot of consumers out there. So that was really the mission and the goal of Farmhouse. And that led to, okay, if we want to get all these things done from regenerative growing practices and sustainable farming to clean extracts to ethically sourcing all these raw goods, in order to do that, we decided it was imperative to become vertically integrated. And for those of you that aren't sure about exactly what that is, it means that we wanted to do everything ourselves from seed to sale. So that means from, you know, sourcing the specific genetics that we wanted to use in our growing operation to choosing the safe and extraction process that we want to use and to sourcing all those ingredients from, you know, our MCT oils and beeswaxes and essential oils, everything that makes a farmhouse product, we wanted full control of. So that is kind of how we decided to enter the space and to create a product and a mission and a goal that was really, we saw a value in.
Man, I love it.
So that's kind of where it started. Yeah.
I love it. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I think people get it wrong because usually when you see a vertically integrated company, all a vertically integrated company does is protect its values, no matter how you get that down. But usually that comes with corporate cannabis. You know what I mean? It's rare that you can see the legacy people defining what they believe in and then applying this vertically integrated structure to protect it. When people hear vertically integrated, we're usually talking about, like I said, like big cannabis. But it seems like you guys are doing it right and using that vertical integration to kind of protect your values. So it's just funny. I think some people kind of see that as like a sign of something bad, but in reality, it's just neutral. It's just a tool that protects your values, whatever they are, if it's profit or if it's, like you said, sustainability and regenerative agriculture and all that. It's interesting, man. And I like what you guys are doing, kind of like small, big, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, you know, talking about our mission and what we saw, you know, some things we saw was when going into vertical integration, you know, some things we didn't like were sourcing. So, for example, some of these larger companies, like you were just talking about, they got so big that they weren't able to control their hemp. They were buying from lot A, lot B, lot C. And what we found is that creates an inconsistency in the product and the quality.
Yes.
And one thing that I believe all cannabis users want is something that's consistent in what they know that they're getting and the efficacy of the product. 100%. So if you start, you know, and it's big and you're getting all these different terpenes and different profiles and different genetics and you're all putting them together, you create inconsistency. And that's something that we didn't want. We wanted our customers, when they bought something, they knew they were going to get it time and time again. So that's why we took the first step. Okay, we wanted to grow our own genetics. We love our terpene profile, our cannabinoid profile, and we wanted to provide that to our customers every single time. So that was the first step. We wanted to get a growing operation that we could rely on and that we could control instead of going out and buying different things. And one thing with hemp that's a little different than marijuana is that hemp is a bioaccumulator, which means that it picks up a lot of things in the ground. So that's where it was huge for us to want to grow ourselves. We wanted to know exactly the land that we were growing on. We wanted to know that the soil was rich in nutrients and didn't consist of heavy metals and pesticides and herbicides, which hemp is very good at picking up.
Sure.
So that is why it was imperative for us to start there. We wanted to know that we were growing on organic land and we were doing it properly. So that was the first step in our process. We wanted to get away all the questions, all the unknowns of what's going in our hemp, and we wanted to control that aspect,
so,
which is huge. And yeah.
So I have to ask, and I promise listeners, this is an extract episode, but this is just too fascinating to pass up. I have to ask about the hemp industry as a whole. You guys do a lot of different stuff. You're doing the tincture, of course, but you're also doing this hemp rosin. Where is hemp headed now? As more states come online and also these industrial applications for hemp become more and more valuable, you know, take a look at the price of wood right now and, you know, hemp hardwood coming on the scene, maybe to rectify that. I guess I'm wondering, like, you can grow hemp for a lot of different things. You guys are growing it for like really high end stuff, but where is hemp headed and are you going to maybe pivot depending on what happens with the market?
Great question. And hemp, the possibilities are huge right now. I would say right now, hemp, most people are growing for the buzzword, which is CBD. So a lot of people are growing high cannabinoid hemp or keeping it really high percentage of CBD.
So that's still the most valuable thing right now. That makes sense.
That's right now. But I think as we see more and more people enter the game with legislation opening up and the, you know, USDA and the FDA become more and more familiar with hemp, we are going to see a huge expansion in what hemp can be used for. We're talking from hempcrete, so creating almost a mash, which is fire resistant, mold resistant, super strong, light, seeing it, you know, become building material.
Right.
We're seeing people starting to grow it more for the fiber aspect and textiles. So creating clothing, paper, things like that. So we are going to see a huge boom of hemp, not just in the CBD and cannabinoid space, but entering into all the other ideas from, you know, the hempcrete, the textiles, and even fuel. We're starting to see people use hemp as energy and sustainable energy. So the possibilities are endless. And we, Farmhouse is definitely, as of right now, we're sticking with CBD and high CBD hemp because our mission is to create a wellness product. But we absolutely see the value in all these other ways that people are starting to grow hemp. And right now, a lot of those things are considered too expensive, or we're not there yet because people are growing for hemp for CBD. But once people start seeing the value in all these other areas, we can grow hemp not for the cannabinoids, but for the other parts of the plant, which will make it a lot cheaper and create more entries, you know, less barriers to entry. And
that's true.
You know, getting larger big ag involved.
Super interesting.
Agricultural feed is going to be a huge thing that we're talking about right now. So, you know, feeding all the animals in the United States instead of going on grain, feeding them hemp feed.
Oh, God, so much more healthy.
Huge. Absolutely.
That would be a massive health benefit for the entire nation. Our meat is so messed up. I'm not going to go down a totally different tangent here with you on the first time, Crosby, but I totally feel you on that. That's super interesting. Again, before we wrap this kind of half of the exploration up, or this part of the exploration, is Farmhouse ever going to, or have you pivoted towards THC, or is that just not your mission?
It's not our mission right now. One of our biggest missions is to get cannabis. Right now, we still believe that there's a stigma around cannabis. We're in Colorado. We're very fortunate, but we understand that's not the reality for a lot of states, especially down south, in the, you know, the middle of the country. There's a stigma there, and we understand that people need CBD, people need cannabinoids. All of our bodies have an endocannabinoid system, and we know that there's a lot of other things out there that people are taking, and we believe that we can provide a wellness product to a lot of people out there that don't even realize it. And
that's so cool.
We understand that, right? You know, THC, it does have a psychoactive effect. And while it has so many good properties to it, we understand that there's people out there that don't want to get high, but see the value and want to see the relief that cannabis can possibly provide.
I respect that, man.
We want to be that company that can help the, you know, your moms and grandmas who are scared to get high, but have arthritis and are going through chemo and, you know, and need help with nausea and 100%. Increasing appetite. And so we found CBD is a great product for a lot of those people that are on the edge and you know, see the value, but are scared. And we want to help them come closer to cannabis.
I absolutely respect that. Even as a huge THC lover myself, I highly respect that mission, man. I want to come see what this looks like and come visit your farm one of these days. But but this is a good transition into the solventless extract side that we're going to get into here. Is the extraction process when you're dealing with a nice high quality hemp any different than a THC bud, or is it literally the exact same?
So great question, and so the answer is it's pretty similar, but one thing, like we talked about with hemp, is that because it's a bioaccumulator and it can bring up a lot of things, we felt that rosin extraction specifically was the way we wanted to go. And that's for one simple reason. It's quality in, quality out. Mm-hmm. You can't fake it with rosin. Oh, with a lot of the hydrocarbon and solvent extracts, you're getting a lot of this material, biomass and different types, and you're all putting it into a chamber and you're extracting. You're getting a lot of things with that. With rosin, you have to be very careful with quality in, quality out. Wow. So we don't have the, I would say, luxury of just chopping down all of our plants and extracting. We use only the top quality buds because we're taking these hemp buds, we're squishing them between low heat and pressure, and we're getting all of that out. And so what is contained in that rosin is your fatty acids, your lipids, your terpenes, your cannabinoids. So it's really important that what you're putting in is clean and high quality. And that's kind of what we wanted to show, is that with Farmhouse, what you see is what you get. And that's not the case for a lot of other types of extraction systems where you're throwing in 100 pounds, and that material varies a lot. So you're getting what, you know, we call that inconsistency. So with rosin, I think you're able to get a very consistent product and be able to play with that product in a way.
Man, that is definitely eye-opening, because you're right. It is kind of a, you know, it depends on your situation, right? If you're kind of a gray market guy in California and you have all these different types of trim and you got to do something with it, you got to process it. When you go with that critical extraction process with those solvents, it really does kind of magically fix all your problems. Like you said, if it's a little bit old, you know, it's maybe a little bit dark, but you basically get a high quality product. I'm just a fan of the you can't say natural when you're using expensive equipment, but the heat and pressure side, it is more natural of an extraction process. It's way safer. I used to live in Humboldt County, and every once in a while, people would blow themselves up doing a butane extraction. It's not for people who aren't professionals to do that type of dangerous extraction. And I know there are other ones as well, but I just think that there's so many benefits to rosin and solventless extraction aside from the product itself, that I think it's just the way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, again, you brought up a good point. That was one of our biggest reasons for doing rosin. Being a small company, you know, the barrier to entry to do rosin. Of course, rosin takes a lot of R&D, messing with temperatures, humidities, how much pressure you're putting on the plants. But those are all things that are relatively safe to do. So rosin is really safe for the operator extracting, and it's very safe for the consumer. So those were two really valuable aspects of rosin that we loved.
Love it.
Like you were saying, with hydrocarbon and closed loop systems, you know, not only do you need to have it nailed down to the manufacturing and the engineering of these large machines, the operator needs to be on point and understand the pressures and, you know, the volatile solvents that are going into these. So there's just a lot of aspects with closed loop and hydrocarbon that you have to be very careful of.
Right.
Fire departments and health and, you know, fire codes and things like that. So there's a lot going on there. And we, you know, as a small company, those were some pretty big barriers to entry. I mean, just the price of some of these extraction machines are, you know, they require engineers and they require people that are very smart to run them. And the consequence of not doing that job very well is pretty bad.
Yeah. It's disastrous, you could say. Killer, man. And I know you have experience with that side too. So
I do. And I've seen a lot of things go bad. I've seen people get very burned. I've seen houses catch on fire. And so I've seen a lot of scary things go down. And that's kind of what really made me move towards rosin, because while there is a lot of pressure, for the most part, it's very safe.
Yes.
Very safe to use. And it provides a safe product. So that was a huge thing for us and our customers.
So, okay, this we've set it up. Now it's time for specifics, man. I'm going to dig in. I'm just going to start firing questions at you. First of all,
hit me with it.
To get specific, you said, you know, you keep saying this hydrocarbon extraction. What exactly does that mean with the hydrocarbon? Is that like a broad term for all these extraction types like CO2 and butane and things like, what defines a hydrocarbon extraction?
Sure. So hydrocarbon can be butane, it can be pentane, it can be CO2. It can be a mixture of, you know, it can be a mixture of pentane, butane, and propane. So when I say hydrocarbon, I mean solvents that would dissolve the material. And usually it's under supercritical temperatures and pressure. So all, you know, a highly volatile gas or solvent mixed with high pressure. And these are all things that are considered hydrocarbons. And that's one of the reasons that it can be dangerous. Now, that's not to say hydrocarbon extraction can't provide a terrific product if done properly.
Sure.
I'm not hating on it, but
there's drawbacks.
Things that people have to be cautious about.
Yes.
Correct.
And I would say there's more drawbacks. There's a few good benefits, again, depending on your place in the industry and all that. But I'd say that overall, the drawbacks probably outweigh the benefits when you take a look at comparing it to something like a heat and pressure extraction.
Absolutely.
Second specific question. You said you squish buds. Now, a lot of the growers in my Discord and these type of people, these rosin heads, if you will, they make theirs into bubble hash first, and then they squish that. Do you exclusively squish buds? Why do you squish buds?
Great question. And so Farmhouse, actually, we believe that we created a new term, and that's called production rosin. So a lot of people, you know, when we tell them that Farmhouse is 100% vertically integrated and we do 100% rosin infused products, sometimes we'll have people looking at us scratching their heads saying, how do you make money? You know, hydrocarbon and closed loop systems like this are, you know, yields are better. Economically, it's better. You can extract more. But what we found is that with rosin production, like you were saying, we squish buds. So that is actually what makes it viable for us.
Huh. So you're saying the extra processing is time consuming. So you just, you do it. Because my understanding is that the yield is a little bit better, but if it's taking extra time in your production, maybe there it's diminishing returns. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so what Farmhouse tries to do is we make a lot with the bubble hash and the fresh frozen, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You're getting a lot of people do that for the smokable or dabbable aspect. So they are very concentrated on preserving those fresh terpenes. That's why they call it fresh frozen, because we want to chop it, we want to freeze it, and then we want to bubble it and press it.
Whereas you guys are taking your rosin and putting it into majority tinctures and balms.
Correct.
And things like
topical.
Got you.
What we found is we can get all those terpenes, cannabinoids, and essential benefits of the plant and properties of the plant, but we don't have to go that length, because we know that in Farmhouse, in the cannabis space, we're not a dabbable company.
Right.
We're not there to get, you know, people smoking. We love that. That's awesome for the recreational side as well as the medical side. But for CBD, we see most people needing, you know, like I said, we're catering to our mothers and grandmothers, and they have sore hands and they want topicals and they don't want to smoke it. They don't want to take a dab. You know, they're still
grab the blowtorch.
They're still getting used to
the dabs.
Grab the
blowtorch, granny. Exactly. Now, I do want to say I've seen some pretty cool rosin dabs. So especially in the like the workout community, people taking these CBD dabs post-workout.
Yeah.
So I hope that maybe as things open up, I would love to try some of that Farmhouse rosin, but I respect and understand where you're coming from. You guys are very clear on your values and you're sticking to them. I respect that
So that's why we squish the buds. That is for a couple reasons. One, you know, we can squish a lot of buds. We can get the demand and the production out there by doing that. You know, doing the fresh frozen, it's just an extra step in creating a really high quality product that our customers aren't really looking for.
It's just the smokability aspect. So you even recommend people do that. You guys just don't engage in it.
We just don't engage in it. I love it. I'm a huge fan of it. And if Farmhouse ever starts to enter in the smokable space, dabs, you know, other types of concentrates, we would absolutely... Yes, I definitely call you, and we would 100% go down the, you know, the washing and getting it into bubble and then pressing.
Cool.
Just for our mission and what the products we're trying to bring to the industry and the market, we don't see a need for that.
I totally understand. Before we return to Crosby, I got to remind you guys to check out membership at patreon.com/growcast. We are having so much fun. Every week live Wednesday nights with Growcast TV, live interactive web stream with all your favorite Growcast guests, breeders, your friends, your fellow members, your fellow Gromies. Our Discord is incredible, folks. For just $10 a month, you get the whole membership, and the Discord alone is worth it. It's basically insurance for your grow. Mary Beth is in there helping people solve their problems each and every day, as am I and Wolfman and Rizo Rich and so many others. The Discord is incredible. Whether you're just learning to grow and you need answers to your questions, or if you're a successful grower looking for positive, like-minded Gromies to share your successes with, this is the membership for you. Come and join if you're a positive grower. If you like fighting about lights and breeders and that sort of thing, do not join. But if you like focusing on helping other people grow, focusing on positivity, and learning how to grow the best cannabis you can, patreon.com/growcast. That's patreon.com/growcast for Growcast membership. The best membership in cultivation. You won't regret it, folks. Go and give it a try. Either way, I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to Crosby. So I want to get into trips trips, tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, all that good stuff. Me personally, I don't have a press and I'm a little overwhelmed by the amount of presses out there. I know you said it's a lower barrier to entry and that's totally clear, but I want to make sure I select the right one. What do you think about selecting a rosin press? Maybe what you're using versus someone like me might buy and what the differences would be and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So you nailed it. There is a very less barrier to entry when it comes to rosin pressing and for you to do this at your home. I mean, back, 5-10 years ago, people were taking hair straighteners,
yeah,
putting a clamp on it, putting some bud in there and being able to extract a little bit of either THC or CBD or whatever they, whatever bud or material
that
they had. So, I mean, that is by far the easiest way to start pressing your own rosin is just doing that. But now, as the industry's evolved and more people are starting to understand rosin, we have a ton of companies out there from Pure Pressure to Low Temp Plates that are providing a really affordable at-home setup for you where you can just crank down on it and provide at-home medicine, which is super cool. And, it really allows everyone to enter the space and especially for home growers who want to extract their material, that's not something that they can just go to a MIP or go to a processor and say, hey, extract my stuff. A lot of them have red tape that they can't just take material that's not in metric.
Right.
In Colorado, we use metric,
right,
as the traceable system, if you will. So the rosin home tools are really cool for especially home growers who want to extract their own, what they grew. And so that's a really fantastic opportunity that people at home get to have. Now, there is going to be a big difference between, say, your at-home 3x3 plate versus what Farmhouse uses. And unfortunately, when we went out on the market, we didn't see a rosin press that really fit our needs. And so that's why we had one custom built for us. And one of the reasons that we did that was because, of course, was production and how much rosin and how much material we wanted to go through. But going through this, we've also learned that once you go too big on a rosin press, you start to degrade the oil. So there is a fine line between, how small and how big you want to go. So there's a lot to play with there as far as going too big, and then your oil gets trapped beneath the plates, and then you start degrading terpenes, cannabinoids, and all the beneficial properties of the hemp plant. So there's a fine line between going too big, if you will. And that's why I think a lot of the larger companies stay away from rosin, because it's borderline impossible for them to expand and upscale.
Whoa, that is an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. Literally, there is a point of diminishing return with the size of your plate. Okay, man, let's get into specifics here. And I know that my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you say, what is the secret to great rosin, or how do I press this bud? Isn't it pretty cultivar dependent? I mean, you're playing with a couple of factors, I'd imagine. Probably the heat, probably the pressure, and then maybe the humidity in the room. What else are we playing with? What are ideal settings? And are there even ideal settings, or is it cultivar dependent?
You hit the nail on the head. It's cultivar dependent. Even the size of the trichome heads and separating those. Mm. How thick is the cell wall? All those things are going to play a role. So, if right now Farmhouse Hemp loves extracting a cherry number 5 that was developed actually by a guy in Fort Collins, and that the variables and the factors that we use for that squish is completely different than, the Maui Wowies and the, think of another one here, is cherry blossom and cherry wines. And so they're different. And that's based off of just our experimentation and pressing things and learning, okay, well, at 190 degrees Fahrenheit, the cherry wine is not extracting and not providing the yield and the terpenes that we want. So we have to, up the temperature. Hmm. But that's not the same for, our cherry number 5, where we can go super low and preserve all those terpenes while still getting the yield that we want. So you hit the nail on the head. Genetics are huge when it comes to rosin and the makeup of those genetics.
So you kind of have to be familiar with your strain, or you have to have enough product where you can, start low and work your way up high? Like, how do you figure that out? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's a lot of trial and error, you know, learning, okay, well, farmhouse hemp, we never squish more than 60 grams at a time. Just to kind of show you an idea of how small batch.
Jeez, that is small batch.
Careful we are. And so we take it 60 grams at a time. We learn from the first squish, and we, you know, obviously if the yields are low, we'll up the temperature a little bit. But then, of course, it all comes back to testing. We get all of our extract tested for terpenes and cannabinoids and things like that to understand what we are actually doing to our extract. And that's
going to be just taste testing. Yeah.
Taste testing is huge. But, you know, we've come to a point in testing and analysis where we learn a lot from the COAs and wow. the testing that we do.
That's really neat, man. That's super neat. Yeah. How about a range? Like, okay, I am, for instance, going to get a press and do my first press. Maybe I'll do it live on Growcast TV. It'll be a fun time. But like, how would I start? Let's say I'm familiar with my strain, but I've never pressed it. If you had to like first time press a strain, what am I setting my temperature at? Do you even alter the pressure, or is it the same pressure every time depending on your press?
So that's something that farmhouse has found to be pretty important. Not only the pressure, but the timing and intervals between those presses. And so we always recommend starting low and ramping up.
Wow.
You don't want to just go, you know, say it's your first time, you have your strain and you put it under the press. You don't want to just go from zero PSI all the way to, say, 15 tons. You'll start getting blowouts. You'll squish the hemp. It'll become a pancake. And you'll come out with almost no extract because you've just gone too fast. So we always recommend to start low and work your way up. And that's really in all variables, from your temperature to your pressure to your humidity and water moisture, you know, content in the hemp plant or, you know, marijuana plant.
Oh, right. How much you've dried it.
Correct. You know, if you go way too dry and it's crumbly and it's old almost, you're gonna see that come through. So kind of dialing in all those things is gonna be huge. But we recommend starting, especially for a home grow or someone who's grown their own and they just want to start getting into the space, start with a small press and squish up to 2 grams and start really low and just start working your way up in pressure. And I like to give it time between each, what I call like a ramping up in pressure. So I think a safe method is waiting, you know, 6 to 20 seconds between each ramp up and really seeing what the rosin's doing, seeing how it's coming out. If nothing's moving and you're not seeing the rosin start coming out, up it up a little bit, increase the temperature a little bit. So,
okay.
That's kind of how you start. That's the process in starting rosin and figuring out how your material behaves.
Jeez. And then when you said, you know, 190 being high, that almost sounds low to me.
Yeah. I would say 190 is pretty, I find that 190, you can get some really awesome tasting extract at that level.
Okay. So kind of like that's like a normal. You'd say,
yeah,
moderate.
I would say that's normal. I've seen in some strains that we do, you know, you have to go up to 230 degrees Fahrenheit. So there's a vast difference in temperature, but they all play an important role and they all provide a different extract and a different product depending on what you're looking for.
That's interesting. And I guess it's more about the pressure than anything else. Because that heat isn't too far above, you know, just a hot summer's day in a car or whatever. But the fact that the pressure maybe is the secret to this rosin, I'm kind of realizing when you lay the numbers out here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pressure's huge, and going too fast or too, you know, too slow. Well, like I said, you know, if you're too slow on the press and that oil is getting trapped underneath the plates, the longer it's underneath the plates, the more and more you're degrading. So, you know, it's a fine, and that's, I think, while rosin can be frustrating, but really fun if you have the resources and the material to mess around with it, because it's definitely something that it does take time. You know, I wouldn't expect anyone to just grab their material, throw it under the press and get the perfect formula right away. It takes time. It takes messing around with.
It's an art. I love that.
Yes.
I absolutely love that, man. Super, super interesting stuff. You have any other, I don't know, secrets or little tips for making incredible quality rosin for our pressers in the audience?
Well, my one suggestion would be is know your product, know the material. Like I said, when you put it in the press, a lot of what's in that plant is going to come out. So number one, know your material, know the genetics, and know kind of what you're looking for there. So that's the main thing. And then I would say it's really start with a small press. That's going to be huge. The smaller you go, I think the better product you get. When you start going over 60 grams or you start going over large numbers, you lose the quality. So for all those home growers out there, I'd say extract small is really huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are living up to that. By the way, farmhousehemp.com. How could I be so silly not to have brought it up earlier? It's in the description as well here. But farmhousehemp.com, of course, for the tinctures and the balms, all that lovely stuff. Really interesting stuff, man. I need to come out and visit. I need to get some of that smokable, of course, maybe just for my own taste test.
Absolutely.
But before we wrap it up here, maybe you can dive in a little bit deeper to where we're headed. It almost seems like we're getting back to basics when it comes to our extraction game, you know, like the heat and pressure that we're talking, this is the oldest way that humans have been concentrating cannabis. And after going through all the CRC and the butane and all that fun stuff, here we are back at heat and pressure. Where are we headed? Do you think we're staying here for a while? Because I mean, it's just the highest quality stuff. Do you think that technology is going to kind of continue to evolve in the solventless space? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think rosin's here to stay. I think that it's only getting more and more popular. You're starting to see larger companies that were just doing BHO. Now they have a solventless line. The need and the demand is there. And so that's huge. And we're starting to see the technology come out. You know, first it was, you know, you had to hand crank the rosin press. And then it became pneumatic, where you could just press a button and, you know, it was attached to
like a hydraulic arm or something, right?
Correct. Yeah. And now we're getting to the point where there's technology out there where it's all on the computer and you can set your time and intervals and pressure, and you can add recipes to these machines, and you press a button and you walk away. And it's pressing the rosin at exactly the formula and the recipe you want. And you can save these recipes to your rosin machine so that you can have 30 different types of cultivars in your machine. So we are getting to a point now where the technology is there. More and more people are getting it. And we're seeing that the demand's not going away. In fact, some of the larger cannabis companies like Binske is considering opening up a solventless line. So this is...
Damn.
It's definitely here to stay. And I think more and more people are understanding the values and the pros of rosin versus a hydrocarbon.
It reminds me of coffee. They have a roast curve, and you know, depending on the heat and the time and all of these factors, you get a totally different product. So it's kind of the same with the heat and pressure with the rosin. Before we wrap it up though, I need to dive into kind of post-pressing care. Like you're talking about these advancements in technology and practices. What about after the rosin is pressed? What is the optimal way to, is there any post-processing that Farmhouse engages in?
Great question. And it's actually one of the most things I'm most proud about when it comes to Farmhouse and how we do things. One of the cool things just about rosin in general, before I even get into what we do with it, is that when you're done pressing, you're left with what we call a rosin chip. It's either a hemp chip or a marijuana chip. This is a clean, sustainable waste product. We don't have to worry about it being hazardous or filled with butane or pentane or propane. This is a clean product that you could throw in the back of your compost if you're doing this at home. So when it comes to sustainability and, you know, creating a carbon footprint that's, you know, smaller and reducing your impact on the environment, this was huge. This is a fantastic way to create a waste product that isn't harmful to the environment.
It's a good point.
And Farmhouse took it a step further. And, you know, a lot of businesses do this. When they have a waste, they try to think, what can we do with this? How can we make this valuable or create it into something else? And that's exactly what we did with Farmhouse. We took our rosin chips, which, you know, in our case are hemp chips, and we took it a step further and we put it into what we call a steam distillation system. And what that is, we submerge them in MCT oil, which is, if you're familiar with it, it's just fractionated coconut oil that won't solidify at room temperature, to make it easy. And we crank up the heat and we are able to extract, we tested our rosin chips and we learned that there's about 2-3% CBD still left in the rosin chip. So we said, wow, there's value here. There's something here. How can we extract it further while still remaining solventless? And that's exactly what we did. We had submerged it in our MCT oil in this pot, if you will. For simple terms, it's a pot machine.
Slow cooker? It's a slow cooker. You can say it.
Slow cooker. Yep. It's basically a very large slow cooker, one you would see in a restaurant. And are able to further extract the CBD from those chips.
Wow. And to be clear, I imagine those chips are, you're talking about the plant material that you pull off of the paper that is the waste product.
You got it. That's exactly what it is. And so
that's so cool.
We've created an entire pet line from this waste product. All of our pet products, the pet drops, it's all made from our rosin chips or, you know, like the leftover material from the press.
Damn.
And so when people ask us, how can you be profitable? The yields on chemical versus mechanical, you know, you're getting so much better yields on the chemical side. Well, we get back our yield by taking our waste product and creating an entirely different product, different SKU, and different line. So we come right back up to being just as profitable and creating even just as good of a yield because we take our waste and we extract further while still remaining solventless. Once we're done with that, you know, the pressure cooker pot, we're left with it's almost like a mashy hemp. And it's still sustainable. It's still compostable and biodegradable, which is huge for us. And so that is something that we found was really cool with rosin. As we weren't finished with just after the rosin press. We have this entire different process when it comes to the chips.
Wow. Taking care of that waste and turning it into something valuable. I love that. As far as the rosin that runs off, though, does that go right into production? Do you cure rosin? I'm such a noob. I love smoking it, but I don't know how the process looks.
Sure. So very similar to THC, you know, one thing that we want to do, especially with our tinctures and topicals, is the decarboxylation that needs to happen. We need to activate it from CBDA to CBD. So we do that with an oven and we raise the temperature just to the point where we're getting that activation and the decarb. And then we store it. And, you know, mostly what we like to do, just for safety and things like that, we want to get it into a product as soon as possible.
Yeah, quick and fresh. But as far as a home extraction, it's ready to go. I mean, the decarboxylation process in most people's setup is their dab rig.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
just the fresher, the better? There's no curing, like a good bubble hash cures or... No, I love it.
Yeah, no, once it's off the press, I mean, it's ready for consumption in a lot of ways, especially for the dabbing and smoking side of things. You're ready to go. As far as us, you know, we want to decarb and we want to make sure that it's activated so that if we put it in a topical, you can put it on your skin and, you know, you're going to get the effects and the efficacy that is needed. So
nice.
There's two different ways to do it and both are correct. That makes sense. Yeah.
Oh man, one thing before we wrap it up, I know I keep saying that, but I'm looking at this honey. I love honey. I'm on your website right now, Farmhouse Hemp, and you guys have a CBD honey. Is this what it looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that's actually our first product that we ever came out with. And that really had to do with, you know, understanding who our customer was and who our demographic was. And we thought that honey was a perfect vessel to put CBD in from, you know, your grandma, or I keep saying grandma or mom, but that, you know, that is really who we marketed to.
Call me grandma. I fucking love honey, dude. I need some of this. I eat honey like a fucking, I'm like Winnie the Pooh, man. Absolutely. I fucking love honey.
We do too. And we found when you infuse it into honey, A, you're going to get that sweetness. Honey's obviously naturally sweet. It tastes great. And honey is super versatile in the way you can use it. You can add it to coffee. You can add it to tea. You can put it on your oatmeal. There's so many ways to use honey. And we felt that that was a perfect way to add CBD to get people, especially who are, you know, just getting into cannabis in general and are, you know, maybe still a little nervous or, you know, don't quite know what an edible does, but hey, they'll grab a teaspoonful of honey. And so that was one of it's our first product and one that's really kind of skyrocketed us and helped us to where we are today. I mean, we sell buckets and, you know, 5-gallon buckets to coffee shops in Portland who, you know, do a teaspoon of honey to their special drink, you know, whatever it is that the person wants, they add a teaspoon of it. And, you know, they get their 10 to 20 milligrams of CBD. So we love the honey. And, you know, another thing that we love about it is that we source our honey from, again, sticking with that, you know, ethical and sustainable sourcing. We source our honey 5 miles down the road from our farm. And it's raw Colorado wildflower honey. You know, it's going to help with the allergies and the seasonal things like that. So there's just a lot of uses of honey, and you add CBD to it and you got yourself one killer product.
This has been a great exploration, man. Okay, so we like to check in on the hemp industry every once in a while. And I mean, it's been quite a while since we've done kind of a hemp episode. So this qualified for that, but it was so much more. So I want to thank you for sharing your pressing advice, talking about the world of hemp, and then a little honey chat at the end never hurt. So Crosby, this was a great appearance. We'd love to have you back. You know, maybe we can connect you when I'm finally ready to do my first press. You can watch me do it live on the show and point out all my mistakes or something. I don't know. You're welcome back, man. And thank you for all you've done today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me on and hear what I have to say. And I would absolutely love to either get you out to our spot and we can do a cool pressing video and really get down to the nitty gritty of trying different genetics. Cool. And I'd love to watch you press your own, and we can get really fun with this and kind of show everyone how cool and versatile rosin extraction can be.
That's cool, man. For Farmhouse Hemp to be so out there into content and stuff is really cool. My listeners, they appreciate that. So farmhousehemp.com, if you want to grab that CBD honey, this rosin honey looks delicious. If you want to grab some tinctures for your grandma, you know where to get it. Farmhouse Hemp. Thank you one more time, Crosby, for an enlightening episode.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Everybody listening, follow GrowCast on Instagram at GrowCast. Farmhouse up on Instagram there, Crosby?
Yes. Yep. At Farmhouse Hemp. You bet. We're on Facebook and Instagram.
Farmhouse Hemp. Easy. Give them a follow. Follow, follow, follow. All the follows. We'll see you next time, everybody. This is Crosby from Farmhouse Hemp and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe out there and grow smarter. That's our show for today. Thank you so much to the first-time guest, Crosby from Farmhouse Hemp, and thank you to you listeners. I appreciate you guys. Quick shout-out to one of my favorite partners, Plant Success, the makers of Orca and Great White, and King Crab, of course. Find them in your local grow store. And if you're on IG, make sure to join our Instagram giveaway. Just make a post showing your Plant Success products in your garden, part of the Great White line, whatever you're using, and tag Plant Success and tag GrowCast, and you're entered to win a Plant Success prize pack, including their King Crab microbial additive. Plant Success. Go and try King Crab, folks. Let me know how you like it. And if you're on IG, enter that giveaway. Thank you so much, Plant Success. Again, find them in your local grow store. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We have some great content coming down the pipe. Stay tuned, everybody. I appreciate all of you so much. We'll see you next time on GrowCast. Bye-bye.